opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Alcides Escobar, first pitch swinging, what else? And he hits a fly ball left center. It is deep, and it is going to be dropped. It'll drop between the outfielders and kick away. And Escobar's rounding third. Escobar's heading home on the first pitch. Escobar hits one to deep left center for an inside the park home run.
One out, and the base is empty for the Royals in the bottom of the ninth inning. They're trailing 4-3, and the pitch is swinging a high fly ball to center field. It is deep, and the game is tied!
Alex Gordon with a drive to straightaway center field, and the Royals have tied it in the bottom of the ninth.
Hosmer left foot in the box, right foot back in. Right, Flores, Murphy, Duda, all in. 2-2, and a swing and a high fly ball to right field. Granderson has to drift back. This will be deep enough. He makes the catch. Here comes Escobar. Here comes the throw. Not in time, and the Royals win game one in 14 innings.
It was kind of a short hop play, and I think he just stepped up to try to catch it on the short hop, and he just missed it. He didn't know, and I guess after the game is when he found out.
So, that was quite the World Series game last night. And your Rockets begin the path to, well, whatever that pursuit thing means. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. You want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things a little bit differently. When you call or text or carrier pigeon or streak naked through the parking lot, however you do it, put odds on it. What are the odds someone actually does that, AJ?
0%.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Certainly no one we'd want to see streaking naked through the parking lot. But anyway, lots to get to. So you guys feel free to jump right in. But let's start with baseball because I don't want anybody to turn off the radio right off the bat. But that was a damn good game last night.
Did you stay up to the whole thing?
I did. I stayed up to the very end.
I did, too. I talked to my wife. I said, what inning? And I told her, she pretty much knew that I was in it for the long haul. But I asked her, what inning are you going to go to bed? Like, how far has it got to get before you just say, F it, I'm going to bed? And even she said, I'm invested at this point. I got to stay
exactly.
up with it.
You're pot committed.
Yeah.
By the 10th inning, well, by the 11th inning, I think you're pot committed.
So yeah, I stuck out the whole thing, and it was a fun game to watch, man. And you know what? I can watch baseball every once in a while in the regular season, but it's very difficult for me. Playoff baseball is different, though. I can sit there and watch it, and not even it doesn't bother me one bit. So and I was excited through the end of that game last night. So I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not as into it. I was when the Astros were in, but because I didn't tune in until the seventh inning. And what I'll do is I'll record it and then I'll fast forward through stuff because I don't like sitting there for 35 seconds between pitches, especially during playoff baseball. But when it got good, I wanted to get caught up on Fargo, which, by the way, is amazing this year. But I tuned in the seventh inning, and once I was in, I wasn't going anywhere. So I'll probably watch the whole thing now. But incredible game.
Yep.
Gab says, enough Space City vodka and I'll be streaking through the parking lot. Hashtag happy hump day. You know what? I'll supply the vodka for that.
We'll never get it done, boys.
Hey. So I guess my other favorite thing from last night was, did you see Lamont's long exchange to the Twitter troll last night?
No.
Oh, boy, it was entertaining as hell. Somebody basically made up an account, and I think it's someone in the Texans front office. It's either their wife or them pretending to be some woman, and started trolling Lamont, and it was hilarious.
About what?
Just general stuff, and he got onto her for all kinds of things. It's worth going back and checking out. You'll have to go find the timeline. But, you know, we'll see. It was hilarious. It entertained many of us last night. 563, yes. What are the odds you both get fired before you can quit? I would say 1%, maybe 2%. I mean, there's always a chance we do something to get fired, but boy, the way our contracts are now, we pretty much have to kill a baby on air.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
But I'll go 20% because I don't always like babies.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they can be really annoying. Yeah. But, so yeah, if you don't like us, sorry, go ahead, go somewhere else because we're not going anywhere. What are the odds TJ Yates starts within the next two games? 5%. It had to be Hoyer getting hurt. They're not bringing him in to make a quarterback change or bringing him in to be a backup quarterback. So, yeah, don't – boy, that's what we're reduced to with this team. And yeah, the whole thing over there, we've talked about what a mess it is, and I don't want to get too much Texans today, but did you hear J.J. Watt's petulant press conference today?
When you say petulant, I mean, are we talking like, do you feel like he is being an excuse maker, or do you feel like he doesn't see what's wrong?
No, I think he was being a guy who is pouting a little bit and won't talk about anything. And and this is your look. He's created this persona of the guy who's on every single commercial, and he's the one that always talks to the media. Even he's acting like a little whiny, you know what, now? That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
That is a that whole thing over there. And, boy, and O'Brien coming out and saying, well, you know, I'm not going to change anything. We're just going to, you know, we think we're doing the right things. We just got to try to fix it. Really? Boy, you guys are so out of it, man. It'll be funny. I can't wait to see what happens now. And, oh, by the way, did I mention that? Guess who sat out of practice today?
J.J. Watt.
And Jadeveon Clowney. Oh. Two guys who were playing late into that game that had no business being in there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're both fine and they're going to play, but I don't know. It's just, the whole thing to me is kind of silly. All right.
I don't even want to talk about the
Texans.
That's
it. Yeah, today. I want to get that out of the way. We've done 2 days of those guys. Can we move on from
it? Yeah. Can we talk about something totally not sports related?
Animal sex?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they don't like when we talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a parking ticket.
Really?
On Saturday. I wanted to bring this up on Monday, but obviously Monday kind of got
and Tuesday.
Worse. Yeah. So I got a parking ticket. I've gotten plenty of speeding tickets in my day.
You drive like I do. We're going to get speeding tickets. I accept that.
Parking tickets, I don't know if I've ever gotten one because I don't park illegally. If you remember what the weather was like on Saturday, it was torrential downpour all day.
Yeah.
So I went to a bar to meet up with some buddies and have a couple beers.
Always a fun thing.
And I street parked.
Okay.
So, and this is...
What part of town?
It's over in the Wakefield area.
Okay. Okay.
So I street park, and there's literally a sign that says no parking, and there's an arrow. And so, okay, I pull in front of that arrow.
Right.
In front of that sign. And, like, I even, like...
Make sure you're past the arrow.
I looked in the out the back of my truck to make sure I had passed up the sign. I said, all right, that's good. So I parked. I'm there for maybe 2 hours. I come out and there's a parking ticket. And my immediate reaction is, dude, I'm not paying this ticket. I'm not in the wrong. I parked on the right side of the sign. So I look on the back, and you can go and contest it. So my question to you guys is it worth my time to go down and contest it? Is there any chance they're going to drop it? Or
what you should have done is taken a picture of where you were parked next to the sign and then go contest it and show them that picture.
Fred.
What?
I didn't do that.
Well, you shouldn't have drank so much. You would
have
thought
wasn't
of that.
About that. I ran back to my car because it was raining.
But then you would have had you would have had that picture. It would have had the time on it. So yeah. It would have shown everything. Anytime I've gotten one ticket like that, and it was the same thing. And they said that there was a tow sign in there, but the tow sign was gone. And so when I went back there and my car was towed, I took a picture of the parking lot. And then I went into court, and they said, well, there's a sign there. And I said, and they'd put the sign up the next day. So I'd shown them the picture and everything, and it got dismissed.
First of all, I mean, you guys got the cops have something better to do, I'm sure, than to write parking tickets on the rainiest day of the year. I mean, I'm sure there's some.
Well, that's the thing. You'd think you'd be safe there because nobody wants to get out of their car to write a ticket.
No. And you would think there's enough accidents and things like that going on that. All right. What do you think? If I don't have a picture, I should just pay it?
No, I would contest it. I would go tell them that this is how I parked. I would get somebody to go with you that also saw where you parked, so you'd have a witness. But
you want to do that?
Well, I wasn't there. I don't want to perjure myself.
Well, I wasn't there with anybody.
Well, you had friends. You went with friends.
Well, yeah, but I didn't drive with them. And they didn't walk me to my car. I'm a grown man.
I would contest it. Well,
Jong?
I would contest it.
Fight it? Or
I would
pay
fight it. It depends on, it's what is that, like 40 bucks?
40 bucks.
I would fight it. That's a lot of beers.
That's what I was thinking. You know what, man? I mean, 40 bucks, is it really worth me driving down?
What is it, like five beers?
Getting down to Houston, like get into downtown and finding a parking spot there and dealing with that. But then I was like, it's more of the principle of the matter.
No, I would challenge it. And yeah, you go downtown, and then afterwards, there's so many good beer bars down there. You go have a nice beer, you make it a trip out of it. That's what I would do.
So.
All right, very quick break. We got a lot to get to. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So what are the odds Wednesday? So we'll take some what are the odds calls. And I'm getting a lot of questions about this, so it's 6:15 today. If you're one of those people that doesn't like horse racing, you can tune out for 3 minutes, but I'm going to do 3 minutes on the Breeders' Cup at 6:15.
Okay.
Especially since I've gotten my preliminary handicapping done. I'm about a day behind on where I usually am because I've been dealing with some other stuff, but we'll do that at 6:15. That way, we'll satisfy hopefully everybody who's been tweeting me and sending me direct messages on Facebook over the last couple of days. 713-780-ESPN. Frobius, what are the odds that Mike Mangino shed a tear when that runaway blimp was finally brought down? It might have been his brother.
It could have been.
Let's grab a phone call. Darren, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, now.
Nice. So I know this is a long shot here, and I've been on the Cougs. You guys probably know me by now. I've been on the Cougs all through the year, even through the preseason. With the kind of season they're having so far, what kind of miracle would it take for them to actually even end up in, like, the playoffs? I know they have.
That's not happening.
It'll take multiple miracles.
Yeah. Realistically, for that to happen, you're going to have – well,
so many teams have to lose twice, yeah. Maybe even some three times.
Well, I don't think three times if they're unbeaten, but two losses, you'd have to have two losses for a bunch of teams.
Is an unbeaten UH ahead of a two-loss Alabama?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the loss. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what the committee's going to look at. I don't know where the committee's going to put them. And just because it's Alabama on the front of their jersey, if they lose two games at some point, You know, do they deserve to be in there? And those are all.
I would say Alabama. I mean, LSU. I think there's a lot you could throw into that.
It depends. I mean, if Alabama's losses are to Ole Miss and LSU, and they don't make the championship game, no, they don't deserve to be in there. There's so many things.
Well, I'm saying if there's a two-loss SEC champion, is UH going to be ranked ahead of a two-loss SEC champion?
If it's Mississippi, maybe. Maybe because they will have a win over a team that beat Mississippi.
Yeah.
If it's Alabama, I don't know. See, that's the thing.
UH and Ole Miss are almost ranked the same now.
Yeah. But the thing is, UH is going to have some quality wins coming in here.
Ole Miss still has LSU at Mississippi State and an SEC championship game.
Yeah, I'm not counting Mississippi State as that big of a win right now, but
they're still ranked today.
They are, but they're not that good.
But I'm just saying, like, by the time they play out their schedules, the remaining schedule for Ole Miss, say what you will about it, Auburn, Arkansas, LSU at Mississippi State, and if they got there an SEC championship, they'll have a better resume, even with two losses. I still think the SEC champ with two losses gets in. I just don't think I don't think any of these.
I think Temple, Memphis belong in this conversation too.
Right, but I don't think any of them are getting into the playoff.
I think it's unlikely, but it's not impossible. I just don't really see it happening because it's not just a two-loss SEC team. You're going to need there'd have to be a two-loss Big 12 team. There'd have to be a two-loss Big 10 team.
Notre Dame would have to lose again.
Yeah, and the problem with that is if all those teams lost too, yeah, you'd have a chance. Then it would be like last year where they're trying to decide which one loss team. I just don't think it's realistic. But I think you also can't just put UH in that conversation because Memphis hasn't lost yet. They've got a win over Ole Miss. And then if they run through, they're going to have a win over UH. They're going to have a win over Temple. Temple's resume might be the best if they win out because they'll have wins over Notre Dame and Penn State. And I think now you're talking about a different...
And Memphis.
Yeah, so or Houston in the championship game, one of the two.
No, Memphis is on their schedule.
Yeah, they play Memphis, and then they could conceivably beat all of those teams.
Yeah.
So I think the realistic thing is, realistically, you're looking at that New Year's Day bowl thing. And
which is, of course, a possibility. I mean, one of those teams is going to do it. I don't see why UH couldn't. I think they're as good as any of those other teams.
Yeah, I think even with one loss, if it's the right loss, they're probably going to have the best resume of the non-Power 5 schools. And
unless they lose to Memphis and Memphis.
Well, that's the thing. They have to be the right loss. They beat Memphis, right, and maybe they lose to Navy, but then they beat Temple. They're going to be ranked higher than those other teams. So but as far as making the playoff, I just don't think that's realistic. I think so much would have to. And now, a lot of things can go wrong, and chaos can ensue, but boy,
it's highly, highly unlikely.
I got to say it's less than 2%.
Yeah.
Less than 2%. Let's try Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, deportes, amigos.
Deportes, itu.
Hey, I got one of the odds that ESPN College Game Day comes to Houston for the Memphis U of H game on November the 14th.
They've been trying to do different ones. So I think it's possible, but yeah, I think you've also got Oklahoma Baylor that week.
Well, are they doing Temple Notre Dame?
I don't know if they're doing Temple Notre Dame.
I think they're doing Notre Dame at Temple. I think that's the game day this week.
Yeah, so. I know they've been trying to get to different places, so it's possible. What they do last week, Richmond and whatever that one double A garbage was that they threw at us.
Next week is LSU Bama, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
So I assume that's going to be what they're doing. You know, that next week, I don't know. If there's Oklahoma at Baylor, that's probably a pretty high profile game. There's not a lot going on though that week that you'd go, oh well. But I
think that they kind of like doing some of the off the beaten path ones.
Yeah.
So I'd say that I'd give it a 25% chance if they're both unbeaten.
It's possible.
And they'd both be unbeaten in top 15 by then.
Yep.
And that would be And yeah, they came here for the UH-SMU game a few years ago, so it's not out of the possibility. Now, that's one of those things that means absolutely nothing to me. I just it doesn't matter where they put game day, but it's cool because
have they done game day at Baylor since they got the new stadium and stuff?
I think they have. I don't know. I'm sure Baylor fan can tell us that.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess if they haven't, that would make a case for it. But
I
it'd be kind of cool if they did do that though.
Yeah. What I think, getting back to the playoff question, if UH needs to build a resume over a couple of years, kind of what TCU did by making it to the Rose Bowl, kind of what Boise's done by making it to these. See, Boise automatically gets the benefit of the doubt now, and they're in that conversation if they're unbeaten because of what they've done over the past few years. That won't last forever. But if UH run, say they run the table or they lose one game, they go to a New Year's Day Bowl, they beat the crap out of a bigger program, they're going to start off next year ranked higher, assuming Herman's still here, with Greg Ward coming back. And if they have that kind of season again and they start off and they're 9-0, then you're going to be in that conversation with 1-2 lost teams.
Yeah.
But it's something that's going to take a little bit to build. And, you know, that's all right. If you build up to that, great. But it's you still have so much to prove. And I mean, honestly, I don't know how the committee's going to look. But just looking at TCU and Baylor last year, they looked at the quality of competition. And UH has had a lot of free squares on the schedule so far. And they're going to have some nice high-profile wins. And believe me, I'd love to see something like that. But, I mean, just being realistic, New Year's Day Bowl, that'd be a great step. Haven't done that. In fact, haven't won a conference title since Art Briles was here. So let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet.
But I think it's going to be a long time before one of these non-Power 5 teams, aside from Notre Dame, gets into that four-team playoff.
I think
this four-team playoff was designed almost to keep them out. And they said, okay, well, we're going to do this, non-Power 5 team gets a New Year's Day Bowl.
Right.
And that's kind of like to appease them. But
it's
them playing
be
for
hard.
Championships.
It's going to be hard, but it's not impossible. I don't think it's impossible at all. But you've got to have – like, I think BYU could have done it with the schedule they have. Because they played UCLA and all these guys, and they're outside of that.
But BYU is more in the conversation with Notre Dame, and maybe even
not really.
They're an independent. They're not playing.
They're an independent, but they're not. Nobody's going to put them on. Notre Dame's guaranteed a spot, basically, if they do it.
Well, Notre Dame now is playing basically an ACC schedule and then adding some stuff in.
Right.
BYU, they're playing whoever they want, and they're going out of their way to schedule Power 5 teams often. They played at Nebraska already. They played at UCLA, at Michigan. In 2 weeks, they've got Missouri. I mean, they're making the rounds. They're a little bit different than your average non-Power 5 conference team because they can play several of these Power 5 teams. Of course, they already lost to two of them, so it's a moot point.
But I mean, nobody looks at them the same way they do Notre Dame as an independent. And I think they could possibly do it. I think they said Boise had built up enough of a reputation. I mean, they were still ranked after they lost. And that's ridiculous for a non-Power 5 school. So they have enough of a reputation where, hell, they were in conversation when they were unbeaten. We were talking about 1-2.
Right.
So it's possible, but you have to build up to it. And I think realistically, you got to wait till there's an 8-team playoff. When there's an 8-team playoff, then I think you're going to see it happen. But
if there's an 8-team playoff.
I think there will be. There's too much money to be made. And what's going to happen, whether it's a Pac-12 this year, whenever you leave out one of those conferences, every year they're going to bitch until you guarantee five of them spots.
I think as long as they don't leave out the same one over and over, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think the first time the Big Ten of the SEC gets left out, that's when you'll see 8 teams.
Maybe.
Those are the most powerful conferences in terms of money and prestige and everything else. Or if a Notre Dame gets left out, or if a Texas or OU gets left out when they're good, that's when you'll see it expand to 8 teams. Yep. It's going to have to be – or Alabama, somebody with power who can basically say, you know what, screw you
Well,
guys.
But the thing is, if – let's say Texas or Oklahoma had been Baylor or Kansas – or not Baylor or Kansas, Baylor or TCU last year – they would have gotten in,
you would have already had eight teams because you would have left out Ohio State, or you would have left out Texas or OU, and they would have.
So you think Ohio State getting left out last year, they would have already switched to 8?
Yes, I think they want to anyway. I think it's, and why wouldn't they? Look how much money that made. Look how much attention it got them. And I think eventually eight's the right number. I just don't want it to. Yeah, I used to think you could do it as a real playoff, but at this point, I think eight would be perfect. Or even,
I mean, we've only seen the four once, and it was pretty good.
It was.
So I know,
but it was also there was also enough of a controversy where you could say, oh, you could do six. Well, six, and then with two teams having a bye, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I guess I kind of like the controversy.
Yeah, well, that's you. You
love. I like someone being left out because not everyone deserves to be in it.
No, but in reality, it's so difficult to decide whether or not Ohio State belongs in over TCU or over Baylor when they've all got one loss.
And here's the other thing. Last year, if you would have put Baylor in, TCU would have bitched. And if you'd put TCU in, Baylor would have... There's always going to be controversy. If you have eight teams, the ninth team is going to have... There's going to be controversy.
Yeah, but I also think eight teams... You're going to have eight viable teams if you do it. It's not going to be... Yeah, you'll have 9, 10, 11 bitching. But at that point, I don't think you have a bitch. It's just like if you're 65th in the tournament, you know, to me, well, if you're not good enough to be in the conversation for 32 or 33, then I don't really care.
I guess
most years it'll sort itself out.
I think last year, like, their eighth team, ninth, or, you know, I don't think that they deserved a championship. And
no, but you know what? If they're in there, I think if you're going to have all these different conferences anyway, you should guarantee that your five champs get in. Yeah. Because there's no way to really judge whether or not... I mean, you can look at the... And that's what they're having to do, is look at the ACC and say, oh, yeah, well, the Pac-12's better. Well, is it? I think it is.
To me, I think that gives these guys incentive to schedule good non-conference games. And, you know...
They'd have more if you're guaranteed a spot if you win your conference. We'd see more high-profile games. Because if you're A&M or Alabama... Maybe you schedule two high-profile games instead of one.
Let's continue this later. John is turning the music up really loud.
All right.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we're back. I think I'm coming around to six is the perfect number. Five champs.
I would like six better than eight.
Five champs and then one at large. That would be, you know, the best.
But then you're going to get people crying about who gets byes and things like that.
Yeah, but that's okay. At least if you win, you're in. Let's we'll get back to that. Dr. Matthew Mays is on the line.
Dr. Matthew Mays from the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of UT Physicians Group. Dr. Mays, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing better than Arian Foster, that's for sure. Obviously, an Achilles injury, pretty serious in nature. Talk about the recovery time, and you know if you can make a full recovery from something like that.
Man, you know, with that Achilles rupture, as you said, that's a serious injury. They will repair it, and it will be basically tying, you know, two ends of the tendon back together, and then given, you know, the appropriate amount of time, a few months, that'll be healed. But the trouble is it's a long recovery getting your muscle strength back to normal. And I do think he can get back some – I do think he can get his strength back to where it would be better than you and me. That being said, getting back to the old Arian Foster, the elite running back, and that explosive speed, man, time will tell. But I think the writing's on the wall that's very, very concerning for him.
Is this something that could be career-ending?
I think that's possible, yes. I think that, you know, he's a fighter, and he's going to come back, and he's going to try. But given the fact that he's 30 years old, by the time he comes back and he's, you know, kind of had – several significant injuries, one after another. I think, in truth, that's definitely something that the Texans are going to be thinking about. I think, you know, time will tell, but I hate to ever, you know, say this is definitely career-ending because I really kind of root for the guy and I really want to see him get back. But I will just put it like this. I think he will be beating the odds if he gets back to be a running back in the NFL.
All right. That's Dr. Matthew Mays from the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of UT Physicians Group. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk to you later.
You bet. Take care.
Bye. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
Well, he's certainly done as a Texan.
Oh, no question.
And especially with the contract he's got. But at being his age, I think it's probably, you know what, I'll miss his bad accents, and I'll miss his fortune cookie tweets. It's a shame.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, exactly. Drunk Bevo, what are the odds Texas makes a bowl? Well, you got Iowa State and Kansas next. Should get the 5-4.
Yeah.
The problem is, yeah, then you have to win either at West Virginia, which, you know,
that's a tough trip.
It's winnable, but that's a tough trip. Then you get Tech at home, which is also winnable. Then you're at Baylor, which is not winnable. So they have to beat either West Virginia or Tech and not choke against Iowa State.
Right.
Which I'm not ruling that out either.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, I'm kind of free squaring that, and maybe but I shouldn't be.
I do think that they get up to 5-4, and then it's like you said, either win at West Virginia or home against Tech, which I think they can do one of those.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, and if they can't, they don't deserve to play in a bowl game.
And right now, I mean, I know they're coming off a couple of nice wins, but I still don't know that they deserve to be in a bowl game anyway.
Yeah.
Let's try.
Well, I mean, I guess if they get the
six wins, six wins.
It's not like they deserve a bowl game. If I were deciding who played in bowl games, they wouldn't deserve one. But the way that bowl system is set up, yeah, everybody gets a bowl.
Well, and honestly, if we're going to go there, we talk about 6-6, and that's what the bowl standard is. At least they played Notre Dame. At least they played Cal.
Yeah.
And the only softy they played out of conference was Rice. And
yeah,
and even Rice is a pretty decent program. So get the six wins. Yeah, I guess they deserve it more than a lot of six win teams.
Yeah, and they've got a couple respectable wins. The win over OU is obviously a good win. Kansas State's a decent win.
Yeah, and I think they'll have another decent win
if they win at West Virginia or Tech. Texas Tech. Yeah.
So. Hey, I think that, you know what, I'm going to give them a 48% chance of doing that.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about that. I think they'll beat Iowa State and Kansas, come on. Lose to Kansas and you're right back to fire Charlie
Strong
again.
Shut down your football program.
Yeah, exactly. Texter says, when Mike and Mike asked Roger Goodell about his views on legalized betting yesterday, he said he was against it to protect the fans' perception. Was he just saying that to try to sound good? But you don't think the fans have enough perception problems with the NFL right now that gambling is really going to change that? I mean, I don't understand the reluctance to it. I like what Adam Silver has to say. The NFL is hypocritical as hell about gambling, and they really are. They want you to think that, oh, no, well, we don't pay any attention to this. You know, we don't really care, but they know right. That's why they're popular, and they know and see now they think, oh, they got fantasy football
and DraftKings.
Yeah. So anyway, but getting back to that, we'll get back to that, because I kind of think, the more I think about it, six would be perfect. 1 and 2 would get buys and deserve the teams that deserve it theoretically.
Yeah, Frobia says. 5 champs and 3 at large is perfect, because then a non-power 5 has a real chance. I just don't know that a non-power 5 necessarily deserves to be playing for the same trophy as those
They're not
guys.
All created the same, though. Northern Illinois doesn't deserve to be in there, but if you're one of these teams that has gone out, like Temple, and I'll use Temple as the example, because they played Notre Dame and they've played Penn State. If they run the table in that conference, and they beat the crap out of people, they deserve a shot to get in there.
But I mean, then there's
as the sixth team.
There's other teams who play those types of teams every single week. Is the difference?
I that's a little overstated. Not everybody plays those teams every week. I mean, I think you look at every conference. There's trash heaps. There's more good teams that they have to play. But that's when you get into the whole conversation of should you give these teams a chance because they went out and did what you told them they had to do. If you need to go beat these teams from these Power Five schools, and these are good teams, then you ought to get that opportunity. But I also don't think if you're Marshall and you run the table and you don't play anybody, that doesn't count. You know, there have to be at least 2 or 3 quality wins. And I think the way that the AAC is going this year, you know, the addition of Navy, I mean, you've got some decent teams.
What if they made a rule that said, if you want to be a non-Power 5 team, you want to make the playoff, you have to win against 2 Power 5 conference teams?
I think that'd be fine. The problem is Power 5 conference teams don't want to play the good ones.
I don't know that that's true.
I mean, at that point, they're not going to – if you're Texas, you're not going to want to play it programs that are good. And you never know who's going to be good because the schedules are done so far in advance.
Right. But I mean,
but I think the access should be there, but you have to earn it. And look at and what Boise did for that stretch. Yeah, they earned themselves a to be in that chance to be in that conversation. If a team does that, does it for 2 or 3 years in a row, yeah, they should be in that conversation. But I don't think you should open it up automatically, because there are going to be years where there's not, especially if you have six, where there's not another Power 5 team that deserves to get in. We'll see that happen. We may see that this year. We may see three teams that clearly deserve to be in there, and then the fourth team, you're like, really? So
see, right now I have a hard time imagining that that'll be the case this year.
Well, you know what? If you go back historically,
I mean, we can all say, like, well, if chaos happens, which I guess potentially it could.
Happens more often than you realize. Go back and right. Look at some of those times we're talking about first and second. All hell broke loose a lot of those years.
But do you see?
How do you think LSU got into the top two with two losses?
But do you see Ohio State or Michigan State having more than one loss?
At this point, no. But crazy stuff happens, man.
Do you see Baylor, TCU, or Oklahoma having more than one loss?
They still all have to play each other.
You see Clemson having more than one loss?
At this point, no. But I could see Baylor and Oklahoma and TCU all kind of eating each other up. And, you know, the Pac-12, you could easily wind up with a 2 or 3 loss champion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all kinds of crazy crap could still happen. Then you're going to take two SEC teams.
Stanford, by the way. You talk about a schedule, their remaining schedule, and obviously they'd have to play a Pac-12 championship, but Wazoo, Colorado, Oregon at home, which almost looks like as much of a gimme as the others,
yeah.
Cal and Notre Dame, and Washington State and Colorado are the only two road games. I mean, they may be playing, Stanford may be playing Notre Dame at the end of the year for a playoff spot.
They might, and then they could go into Washington State and throw in a clunker. And yeah, we've seen that before. There's always somebody, one of these teams that we're talking about always loses to somebody they have no business losing to.
Yeah.
It happens every year.
Well, Stanford already did that. They lost to Northwestern, and they may
do it again. Exactly.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. Fall is here. The holidays are right around the corner. You're going to have people over. I know I am. You want to host with confidence. You want your house to look as clean as possible. And that starts with having clean carpets. Put your trust in a DFC Interior Cleaning, Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. And I've used them in Austin. I use them here in Houston. They do fantastic work. They leave your floors looking like new. And they're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals for a reason. They've got the best technology in the game. They are way ahead of the curve when it comes to that. They're not using soaps and waters like the old school guys do. And that stuff can damage your carpet fibers. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and their truck-powered equipment. And combined, this is going to give you an amazing result. Once the stains are gone, they won't come back. And it's not just carpet. They do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with that unique patented technology. And now they've got Sunday service available. Call now. You get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Fest with any purchase, and you'll come home to a clean house, which always makes a day at the Ren Fest feel a little bit better. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free.
ESPN 97.5. And we are back on the Blitz. Want to win $100? Play in the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour Thursday at Christian's Tailgate in Midtown from 5 until 7. Top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Christian's Tailgate in Midtown from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. That's the Christian's I go to. I wish they'd go past 7 o'clock so I could go sign up. I need to win something, man. Not having the best fantasy year.
We can't win that anyway.
Yeah, oh well.
Just complaining.
Damn. Yeah, because you're just crushing everybody in those leagues we drafted at Champs.
I'd be going to Mexico.
Yeah.
Alas, I am not going to Mexico.
Man.
Doesn't seem fair that we can't win those prizes, John. Just saying.
Yeah, if we're going to have to play,
yeah,
give us some incentive.
Show up and draft.
It's just like free poker. I have no incentive. Yeah. I don't want to play. All right, let's...
I'm 7-0. I've scored over 100 points more than the next closest person in my league.
See, that deserves something.
Yeah. You deserve a trip to Mexico.
I agree.
Are you managing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who the hell else would be doing it?
Oh, no. I'm just wondering if you just let it.
No, man.
You know.
You don't score 795 points in 7 weeks by not setting your lineup.
I've been setting mine, but I've had so many damn injury problems and everything
Fred,
else.
You know who my first pick in this league was? Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That's how good I am.
Let's grab some phone calls. Let us start with Andy. So what are the odds Wednesday? What's up, Andy?
Hey, sports.
Go.
Well, thank you for letting me be on the show. Y'all are awesome. And one of the reasons I wanted to call in, because this is my first call in, is the fact that I already know what's the best playoff football format for college football. It's a 12-team format, which you have the four highest-ranked conference champs get a bye. And then if you don't win your conference, you got to play another game, and you're actually giving one of these non-Power 5 teams a chance to prove it on the field that they deserve to be with the big dogs when it comes to the last game of the year.
See, I think 12 is way too many. Way too many.
I don't know that it is, but here's the problem that I have with it. It is automatically giving a non-Power 5 school a spot, because with four teams, we said a Power 5 school's champ is going to get left out every year. So you have to earn your way in there. Now, it is very subjective, and that's why I think you go to six, you might solve that, and you guarantee all the champs. And then, to get back to what we were talking about, I think you would get better out-of-conference matchups, because it doesn't matter if you lose those as long as you win your conference.
Yeah.
Now, but I don't think you should guarantee a non-Power 5 school a spot, because for every year that you have some viable candidates like you do this year with Houston and Temple and Memphis, for every year you have that. Last year it was
Boise was the highest ranked one. They were 20th.
Yeah, and they weren't deserving to be in a playoff.
No.
And they weren't really deserving to be in a New Year's Bowl. And I think, you know, by doing it on the field against good competition and getting ranked high enough to get into it would be fine. I think that's great if you think they're one of the best 8 teams in the country or the best 6 teams in the country, absolutely. But if you're 20th, I don't think you deserve that spot. And that's one thing that I will agree with AJ on. I don't want to just give one of them a spot, because more years than not, there aren't good teams from those conferences.
So 12 teams last year, you would have had four teams with 3 losses playing in the playoff. You don't need that. Those teams lost 3 games. They don't deserve a chance to play for the same title that 13-0 Florida State was playing for. They just don't.
And somebody says if they do go to a 6 or 8 in the college football playoff, I don't think the conference champ should get in automatically. In 2012, 5-loss Wisconsin would have been in. No thanks. That is going to happen. That's going to be more rare than – I mean, that's an outlier. That's not going to happen that often. But, I mean, if you're going to separate this into a Power 5, you ought to be able to get their champs in. And, yeah, some years you're going to have that. More often than not, that's not going to be the case.
I think 12 teams is too many.
I think eight,
if you want to make an argument for 8, I think it's too many, but I'll listen to it. 12 is ridiculous.
And I'd like to see what happens the next couple of years, because I think it will sort itself out with 4, and I do think a non-Power 5 school that's good enough with a good enough resume, one of these days is going to get in that 4, because it would have happened with Boise a few years ago. And it would have probably happened with TCU before they got into the Big 12. So I don't think it's impossible. But, yeah, I think the idea of automatically getting them a spot, that's too much. Because think about all the Northern Illinois teams you would have seen in there. Nobody wants that.
No.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my ride.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.